GabFest Radio.
Did you ever wonder what they were really thinking? You're listening to The Ladies' Room. Say hi to your co-hosts, Marianne McQueen and Trish Twilley.
Good morning and happy Halloween from The Ladies' Room Radio Show. I continue to be Marianne McQueen.
Hey, good morning. It is Friday. I am Trish Twilley.
We made it. We made it to Friday. Lived through hump day, a brutal Monday, but it's Halloween weekend, and it's all probably starting off tonight with lots of trick-or-treaters and all that good stuff. So, trick-or-treat!
Yeah, starting off tonight. Are you kidding? If you're a mother of small children, it started a couple of weeks ago at least with costume buying and making and candy stuff and let's see, what else? Treat bags for schools and trying to find the perfect Frozen costume. I heard that there's a drinking game this year that when every kid that comes up to the door that is the Frozen character, somebody's taking a shot because every kid is going to be Frozen.
Wow. I'm not a bit surprised, really. But, God, that's...
Disney continues to rake in the money, right?
And they always will.
Yep.
Always will. And I'm kind of half glad about that because they did teach me a lot and they did change my life. So I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. But that's kind of that. Hang on. I shouldn't be typing while I'm on here, but let's talk some more. So, boo! Did I scare you? There you go. Timing.
Right. Timing. Timing. The secret to comedy is timing.
I'm curious. Did you go trick-or-treating as a kid?
Every single year. Really? I did.
Till you were how old?
I guess I was probably 11, 12 maybe.
So that was... And what were the things you dressed as a kid?
Oh, wow. You know, the first costume that I really remember, and I'm going to show my age, when I was a kid, there was nothing elaborate and extravagant about your costumes. You got the plastic costume that you would step into, and they would have the plastic ties, and they would tie around your neck that would just irritate your neck so bad. And then you had the plastic mask that would stick on your face, and it had the piece of elastic that would go around your head that always broke. But I remember being policewoman was the first costume that I remember having.
Wow.
Yes. What was her name? Angie Dickinson was policewoman. So I was policewoman. That was the first store-bought costume I ever remember. I went as a punk rocker and won the costume contest at school one year. I went to a Smurfette.
But I saw you dressed as the Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, that was last year. I have
beautiful.
A whole costume thing. I mean, I've got about four of those dresses. Don't even ask why. I just do.
So did you didn't make that dress?
I had them made.
Wow. Damn. Girl, you
had them made. I had them made because I had them made because we had a very big, nice, almost like a show production Christmas play at our church one year. And the singers, the lady singers, wore those as like carolers, sort of. And so that I ended up, I've had a couple, and then I just went ahead and bought everybody else's so I would have all of them. And I use them for different things. I mean, I have got every kind of costume you can imagine just because of the things that I do and plays that I help with and musicals. And I've got whatever you need, just come over here and go shopping.
I have not a one costume, nothing, zip, nada. The biggest problem in my closet is I have clothing from size 10 to size 22. That's my problem.
Yes, but mine would go from size 2 to
eating
britches, elastic pants.
That's called stretch pads, right?
or if it's Thanksgiving, they're eating britches.
They're eating britches. Or, you know, I remember growing up in an Italian family, so we didn't just have, you know, the holidays. It wasn't just turkey, let's say at Thanksgiving or even Christmas. We always had lasagna and all this other stuff. And the men would unzip their pants.
It was, always.
Oh, it's just gross. I didn't like that. And then they'd go
but
out.
But the women wanted to. You wanted to, right? And I mean, if you put on your eating britches, you don't feel like you're a balloon. You know, you just have on your elastic and they just move with you.
I had eaten britches on. I didn't know they were called that then, but.
But well, you are welcome.
Thank you. Thank you after you're welcome. So nonetheless, right off the bat, we know you continue to be shy, listeners. I'm going to invite you to call in again. Okay. Now, we never even gave you the answer to that. What do 1 in 50 people in America have? And I'm still not going to tell you until you call in. 310-919-4271. That's 310-919-4271. Trish, why don't you give them the number and maybe you can say it in a language they can understand.
Yes, it is the ladies' room. If you're going to call in and talk to Mary Ann and I, 310-919-4271.
That's nine. See, that's nine. The difference. It's
nine.
For me, it's nine. It's like nine. And we're on Facebook, The Ladies Room Radio Show, RM, and Twitter, The Ladies Room Show, RM. So, you know, Halloween, we're doing it on October 31st, 2014. We're doing it live, so we're not faking that it's Halloween. So we can't help but talk about Halloween. You've talked about when you have kids, it starts weeks ago, you're buying candy, you're bringing stuff to school, making costumes or buying costumes. Did you know that behind Christmas, Halloween is the second most profitable holiday in North America?
I can believe that.
And do you know, did you read just how much of an industry it is?
It is a $6 billion a year industry.
That's B billion. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. Insane. I mean, I understand there's a lot of candy and lots of parties. I get that. But I think adults, more than when we were kids, celebrate more. So I'm wondering how much of that is in alcohol sales and if that's what makes that number go to that. I don't really know.
Or it could be the sexy kitten costume. You know, it's whichever one.
And it said, and this is sort of interesting as we look at amazing Halloween facts, in many countries like France and Australia, Halloween is nothing more than an unwanted, hyper-commercialized influence that's been imported. So they don't even like it, but we ugly Americans have brought it there. And that ain't good.
It's just another way to shower your kids with extravagant things they probably don't need, costumes that cost way too much because you always want them to be the cutest and you want them to be proud of what they have. And in fact, I'm almost ashamed that, well, no, I'm not. I'm not ashamed. I went out to my daughter's school earlier this morning at 9 o'clock, the Friday before every Halloween, they have a book character parade for the school. And every grade level, every kid in each class, they go out into where the buses park. So it's a big, big parking lot. And they sit in different grade levels. And one by one, each grade level will get up and parade around to see, so everybody can see their costumes. Of course, they stopped having the best costumes of the class. There used to be a girl and a boy when my older kids were there. But, you know, we have to be fair now. And everybody couldn't win, and somebody might get their feelings hurt. So they had to stop that. But it's a book character thing, and it started as it's called Red Ribbon Week. And they every day of the week, they dress up. All of the schools around here do this. And it's a drug awareness thing, to be drug-free is what it is. So that's how they incorporate into the school. But I said all that to say that I spent a lot of time last night making my daughter's Princess Anna costume from Frozen because I just did not I typically don't buy one off the shelf like at Walmart or Target because I don't know. In my mind, I always think I can make better than that and probably cheaper. So either I will find something I really, really, really love online that you can't find around here, or I'll make it. So I was sort of proud of what I had done for Jolie. I did the tulle skirt and the tulle cape, and I bought the black shirt and put everything on it. And after the parade, one of her little friend, well, it wasn't a friend, a little girl came up and snarled her nose up at my daughter and said, "Who are you? What is this?" Of course, I start thinking of Karen from Will and Grace saying, "Oh, honey, what's going on? What is this?" And so Jolie said, "I'm Anna from Frozen." And that little girl snarled nose up again and said, "I don't get it." And the mama came out in me, and I got down on a fourth grade level a few minutes ago, and I said, "What is there to get? Have you never seen the movie?" She's Anna. Well, she said, "I get it." I mean, she just didn't wear a tutu. I said, "It's not a tutu." And you know what? You're rude. I said, "You are very rude. What is your name?" And she told me her name, and I said, "You know what?" And I called her by her name. I said, "Before you start spitting things out of your mouth, maybe you should think about how they make other people feel." And then I looked, Jolie, my daughter was about to die, and I said, "You know what? You don't know. You may have hurt her feelings, and that is not cool. What you just did is not cool." And what happens is, what I'm trying to get to is these parents want their kids to have the best costumes and look very cute, and then you got the other little snotty kids who want to put them down because you don't want them. You know, they can't be better than you. So she wanted to make sure that she threw her under the bus about her costume just because –
That's just so rude. I can't begin to tell you how rude I think that is. Oh, I don't. And then once again, I don't hear you. I need you to tell me that you're there. Otherwise, I'm going to start talking like a crazy person. Because I got to tell you, I think that's
girl just sort of hump over as she was saying it. Because she was so proud of her costume, and it didn't take but one little smart mouth heathen to make her feel bad.
So wait, let me go back. What was the little girl, the rude little girl, dressed as?
Oh, she had a little costume that, you know, that came out of the little bag, the little silk Sleeping Beauty, you know, nothing else. Her hair wasn't even combed, I don't think. You know, my oldest daughter got up and did braids with buns all over my youngest head. I mean, she, you know, went all out. She was so proud. And then you had one. What is this? I don't get it. She don't wear a tutu.
And part of this is, where do you think she learned that behavior?
Oh, you know, she learned it at home.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's where, again, I talk about bullying. I talk about the same thing. This is a day where the kids should be having fun, especially the fact that this is a library thing. They're dressed as their favorite, you know, characters and books. It's a good time. I don't think the kids should really care either way what the others are wearing. It's fun. They get to not have to wear school clothes. It's a Friday. It's supposed to be a happy day, but they start to learn really early on to judge. And I'm glad you told her that's not cool.
I did. I can't believe I did that. But that is just that person that lives in me that doesn't come out very often, and few people see it. It's just a side of me that when it comes to my children, I shoot off the hip and I will get you. And then I'll think about it later. And there sometimes is remorse and there's sometimes regret. But when it comes to my children, do not hurt my kids. I don't care how old you are. Don't hurt my kids, because you have to go through me.
It's interesting that you say that, because I think generally speaking, if we don't say it, though, then there winds up being this resentment and an undercurrent. And you might snark off at somebody else.
Well, do you know, she was bold enough to do this while I was standing there. So an adult didn't intimidate her. And I think that's what bothers me the most, is that she was not intimidated by an adult, by this child's mother. So she just was rude. rude and ugly blatantly and didn't even, you know, she didn't care. And if I guess if I was ever mean as a kid, I surely wouldn't have done it in front of an adult or the mama. I mean, you know, good grief.
How does that happen? I just don't understand it. I don't want to beat that dead horse, but I might want to beat that kid. I don't really know.
I thought to myself, have you ever been beat with a tutu? Because you probably don't need to be beat with a tutu. Your mama needs to get a good belt and wear you out with and teach you some respect.
But in all seriousness, I've seen the picture of your daughter. It didn't look like a tutu, not one bit.
No. Mm-mm.
Just because it's tulle doesn't mean that it's a tutu. Because she's a moron.
Yes.
I'm just saying. So in the news, once again, we got a lot of crazy going on. Because it's Halloween, it's just worth mentioning that MTV is moving forward with a Scream drama series, which is kind of a reboot of the Wes Craven movie franchise. They did mm-hmm. 4 of those. They're going to do 10 episodes. And Scream is going to have an ensemble cast with a lot of newbies, people we don't even know. But yeah, we need more horror. Not. I don't know. You like horror films, though, don't you?
I don't mind them. I don't love them. But the adrenaline rush is kind of fun. But I don't watch a lot of them because I do dwell on them.
See, for me, my life is an adrenaline rush. The amount of stress.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, even with the Hunger Games almost gave me a nervous breakdown. I mean, I worried for those kids, and I sat there for 2 hours. I cried. I was just on the edge of my seat. That movie, Hunger Games, kind of got in my head a little bit, and that's weird coming from an adult, but it did. It bothered me. It was kind of scary to think that in real life, if those kinds of things could have happened with a government that could tell you what you had to do, it was just, it got in my head and it upset me. That was almost a horror movie to me. And I still think about it sometimes. It got in my head. Did you watch that? Did you see The Hunger Games, any of those movies?
Not at all. It's interesting. And I'm proud of that. I've never seen a Star Trek movie, Star Wars movie.
Well, this is not. See, me either. I've never seen the Star Trek or the Return of the Jedi, or I never even watched I just never watched anything like that. But my daughter read the book and said, "Mom, it's the best book ever." You know, she was waiting on the third book to come out with the I can't remember, Mockingjay, and I sent someone to go down and get a Mockingjay pin, and I don't typically like all that kind of stuff, but it was a good movie, but it kind of warped you up a little bit. You know what? You should watch at least the first one. Just for one, Jennifer Lawrence is in it, and she is just so cute.
I didn't even know
who she was.
I like her a lot.
I do too. But I didn't even know who she was when I saw that first movie. But it's just watch the first one. I think it's on free Stars right now. There's some free movies on demand. You should just watch it just for kicks.
I am curious. So now you have me curious. But for me, the scary movies that I see are the ones that are kind of based in fact. And I always talk about, this was so many years ago, a group of us went to see Silence of the Lambs. First one. Oh my God. That was a two Xanax movie for me. And I still remember my friend Rob in New York. I love you, Rob. So I was like, "You got any soda left?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Give me that." And I just washed down. I did. I took a Xanax. And he goes, "You drank my whole soda." And I'm like, "I'm nervous." And I was a real puss about it. So, yeah, the fake stuff, again, I know it's fake and it's meant for shock value and for, again, that adrenaline rush, the same thing you get on an amusement park ride.
Well, but, you know, what kind of scary movies scare me the most, as you say, the real life. The ones that scare me the most are not the Jason or the Children of the Corn, where there's, you know, there's a killer, or the ones that scare me are the demonic ones with the demonic forces that are spiritual. That's what freaks me out, because I do believe there is a dark side, and that kind of scares me. So I don't like those, because I do dwell on those, and I'll think about them later, and I don't like that. Those are the scariest to me.
Did you see The Exorcist?
No.
I haven't either. And my ex-husband, screw him, by the way, my ex-husband saw that when he was a teenager, and he said he slept with the lights on for 2 weeks. And for him, that's like a big thing, because he likes to sleep in total darkness. I've never seen it. I've seen clips. They freak me out. And because I had a Catholic upbringing all the way through high school of Catholic high school, I didn't want to see it. My mother didn't want us to see it, which I'm really okay with. I agree. Those are scary. And they keep bringing back more of those, which again, and there was a story in the news this morning about somebody who, I think it was on TMZ, who visited a house that they said was, you know, that there were evil spirits in it, and this young woman had to be exorcised. And I don't mean going to the gym. Let me make that clear. Let's see if I can find this.
There was a movie that just came out that was based on a true story that I went to watch with my kids. We talked about it the other day, you and I did, that I said it was they had some actual footage from them going to this haunted house. And some of the things that they did are very customary religious practices when something is demonic or there's a evil force in a house and they go to cleanse it. But that movie, it was the one that I told you that everybody, that people walked out.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever screamed in a movie theater. And I didn't do it just once. I did it several times. And as I was screaming, I was thinking to myself, I am sitting here screaming like a girl. I mean, and I couldn't help it. It just came out.
Wow.
I wish I could remember the name of it.
Maybe it's better that you don't.
Yeah. I wish I could remember.
When you think of it, blurt it out. But so here's the one that I just read about. A girl's family claims she became possessed by demons after visiting a house owned by Ghost Adventures star Zach, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, B-A-G-A-N-S, Baggins, and had to be exorcised. The house has had documented incidents of paranormal activity. And again, do I believe this? When I read the next part, as I get here, you'll see that I might not. Hold that thought. Oh, wait. I think my dog is about to be possessed. They said the family.
Cujo.
Yeah, exactly. Cujo. That's the one. A family fled the home after claiming they were terrorized by demons. Now, this is, I mean, if you're raised Christian or Catholic, this stuff is serious business. So it goes on to say, Zach, again, who this ghost adventurer, convinced different former residents to return to the home for a new documentary. So right there, do we think it's just for PR and publicity? And as soon as they began filming, demonic activity began. The mother claims someone kicked her when no one was around, and there were other incidents as well. A few weeks later, the daughter was having, they don't say how old this daughter was having violent outbursts. I think most teenage girls, unfortunately, are prone to outbursts, threatening to hurt herself and others. But the family then said she started speaking in tongues. And we all know that's supposedly a sign of demonic possession. They claim they brought the girl to a Catholic priest. And he performed that exorcism. But they recorded it on video. So if I have to tell you, if none of this was on video, I might maybe believe something happened there. But P.S., they're going back to this house in December to finish the film. So it's interesting that this story surfaces on Halloween.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm saying that to that story. In reality news, as we talk about the reality of reality, which is always kind of weird, Uncle Poodle and Sugar Bear have been in the news. Have you been reading some of that?
What a mess. I mean, that is just a mess. But I read a little, apparently there's more current things. I read things, a few days ago, so I'm assuming some more things have come out.
Well, Uncle Poodle, who's quite the character anyway, said that he feels he's been screwed because the production agreement reads he won't be paid because the show is not going to air. TLC has scrapped the entire season. And typically, so anyway, and not only that, so has Sugar Bear said that he hasn't been paid a dime. Essentially, they're both homeless, they're couch surfing. Here's a problem. Just because, Mama June and her little girl got a TV show doesn't mean the whole family should be able to sponge off them. That's a problem. So while I think what she has done is disgusting, if it's true, by allegedly being with a convicted child sex offender, I don't think it's her job to support her ex-boyfriend and her baby daddy. I don't think it's her job to support Uncle Poodle. They are grown men who should have jobs. Now, they don't live all that far from you, do they? They're in Georgia, aren't they?
They're in Georgia, but I've never heard of the town that they're in. They're somewhere in South Georgia, which is a in our minds where I'm in the Atlanta area. That's it's a pretty good little ways down.
So
So, and it's a
far enough.
different lifestyle. It's very, very rural. I mean, it's just so it's just there's nothing there. It's you go for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles, and there's just nothing there.
Yeah.
So we're just talking about that, Brian and I, right here.
That came from production.
I don't, but see, the network wouldn't have signed an agreement
Yeah.
that said you only, because
Well, production
otherwise,
doesn't pay for the fucking cast anyways. That comes out of the network.
here's the thing. So we're sorry if you heard that word. If when you do a show, the bottom line is production gets paid, the production company is paid by the network. The network does the contract. So you don't ever really have a contract that's with a production company. It is always with the network. The network can't allow itself to be liable with labor laws being what they are. So you can't have people work for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks on production and then not get paid. So whatever BS story that's coming out that's saying they didn't get paid, they're mad because the gravy train has come to a screeching halt. They will ultimately get paid. Maybe they haven't been paid yet. Typically, you invoice a production company and they pay you out per episode. So this whole story is a little strange to me. So I don't know that I'm buying what they're selling, but don't assume that mama or her little daughter has to pay your bills because she don't. Even though I think, like I said, what she did is dastardly. Amanda Bynes is back in the news. Damn it. I hate to say it. Do you want to talk about Amanda?
Poor Amanda Bynes. I mean, she was on the road to recovery, we thought, but I hear that she is back on the street and wreaking havoc. What is she up to?
Well, it seems that she. Originally, so she had the 5150, which holds her for 72 hours, pretty much against her will, to, because that's assuming they doctors think she is a threat to herself or others. And so they got her in there, and then there was a 30-day extension. But apparently, she went in and lobbied and said, "Look, I'm really okay. I'm taking my meds. I'm lucid." And somebody really crazy let her out. So no sooner was she out than she was on the streets of Sunset Boulevard, gorging herself in a meal, mumbling to herself, and wandering the streets looking for a place to stay, allegedly using a credit card that didn't have her name. And thus far, there's no room at the inn. No one wants to give her a hotel room because she's acting cray cray.
Well,
Actually,
did the person that let her out, did it cross their mind to think that maybe and perhaps she was lucid and that she was okay because she was being monitored and was taking her medication? So as soon as she got out, she was crazy again?
Brian and I were having this conversation yesterday. Bipolar, people who are diagnosed with bipolar tend to not like their medication. So as soon as they are not under a doctor's care or under the thumb of a conservatorship, which her parents apparently may not be able to get now again, they go off their meds and they go off the rails again. And again, I don't think she's acting out. I think she's truly mentally ill. And I have great sympathy for her, but I really do think the parents, I would be livid, livid at the doctor or the administrator who let her out. I don't know very many bipolar people, or at least not the admitted or have been diagnosed, but I'll tell you, if this happened, I'd be angry. And so, Amanda, I hope you get better, girl. You deserve better. And maybe it's a different hospital next time. And
yeah, because it's certainly, the media, and I'm sure some would almost kind of like to joke about this. And I know that late night TV certainly has, but I think we are really seeing a very sick young lady that is truly got some things going on that need to be treated before something does happen.
It's true. And we know this is a downer. So we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we've got a lot of really fun stuff to talk about. Some of it Halloween related, some about Chelsea Handler, Pee Wee Herman, The View, Real Housewives of New Jersey. We'll be right back and we'll talk.
We'll be right back in just a moment. Now, back to the ladies' room.
We're back in that tone of voice. I'm Mary Ann. Who are you?
Hey, I am Trish Twilley.
Hey.
Right here in the Atlanta.
Ooh, and it's Halloween.
Yes, it is.
So
you're not dressing up. Do you ever dress up?
I haven't dressed up in years. Like, I don't even remember when. I tend not to go to Halloween parties. It's really funny. When I was a much younger woman, my mother used to say I was out so often that if death came knocking, I wouldn't be at the door. I was just never, ever home. Always out, always social. You live in New York City, you live in LA, you're younger, you're out. So, I mean, I used to do that like a vampire looking thing. Yeah, I admit it. When I was a little girl, because I went to Catholic school, we had to dress up as patron saints. Or in my case, because my name is Mary Ann, I dressed, and nobody laughed, as the Blessed Virgin. And I said nobody laughed. But it was a Catholic school. And so it was interesting to see kids dressed as Saint Anthony and John the Baptist, and some kids were angels, and it was really sweet. But now I don't even have the desire, because if I'm dressed up now, I'm dressed as a bum. But I'm a clean bum because I showered already, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So speaking of, let's talk about Chelsea Handler.
Not a fan.
Me either, because so you're just not a fan. So she recently, as we all know, Vladimir Putin, not a nice guy, posted a picture of himself. It's a while ago now, of him topless on a horse, I don't want to see him and his man boobs on a horse. But she was trying to make a point by posting a picture to Instagram of herself topless, which naturally includes her nipples, which Instagram took down. And she was irate, saying, "Taking this down is sexist. I have every right to prove that I have a better body than Putin," which, by the way, I think is questionable. I'm not sure she does.
It's her body, but certainly not her face.
Yeah, I mean, but if a man posts a photo of his nipples, she said, it's okay, but not a woman. Are we in 1825? I think she could have made that point without doing that. I actually just think it's publicity so that we'll talk about her. What about you?
You're probably right, because what is she doing right now? She's fixing to leave her show. She's already left her show. So what has she got going? Anything?
She is going to have another show. I don't recall where. And I will tell you, she has a huge fan base. Everybody came out for her final show and kind of did a We Are the World type of thing. I mean, completely A-list star-studded. So there must be something you and I are missing. I don't think it's an act. I do think she's mean-spirited. She reminds me of an evil sister that I had. And it's just, I don't find it fun. It's not the sarcasm of a young Joan Rivers. It's not... again, in his prime, Don Rickles, or even Lisa Lampanelli. I actually can find humor. I love Lisa Lampanelli, and she's brutal to everybody, white, black, gay, straight, handicapped. She doesn't care. She's going for the juggler. There is something about the attitude that just doesn't hit me right. So, Chelsea, I know you are rich, famous, and much thinner than I am. Just don't like it. And I'm saying, I don't think you proved a point by being topless. Whatever. But you want to talk about Pee-wee?
Pee-wee Herman. I I'm guilty of Pee-wee's Playhouse when it would come on Saturday mornings. it went sort of downhill. Sort of went downhill in a little show. And when he was sort of tarnished, I guess, or doing what men do.
I have a feeling.
You're going to carry this one.
I'll do it. It's all right. Not literally, but so in 1991, Pee-wee.
Never mind. He'll do it himself.
Exactly. Paul Rubin, which is his real name, Paul Reubens, just really shot to fame as Pee Wee Herman. It had been a character he worked on for many, many years. Gray suit, big red bow tie. Kids loved him. They loved Pee Wee's Playhouse. However, and he hadn't been doing Pee Wee's Playhouse for a while, but in 1991, he was busted for, let's see, how do we clean this up? Polishing his cannon in a movie theater. And interestingly, it takes time, but Hollywood always forgives. And he'll be making another Pee Wee Herman movie. What do you think about that?
Well, he certainly has a different audience now than he would have when he was on Pee Wee's Playhouse in the 80s. And
I guess to forgive is divine, right?
Isn't that forgiving. So what, you're going to hold him against, hold that against him? Compared to today's standards and things that celebrities or anyone is doing today, you're going to hold that, Hollywood's going to hold that against him? Society's going to hold that against him? Seems kind of stupid to me.
I guess and it was 1991.
Wow.
And by the way, so in today's world, that never would have happened because unfortunately adult material is all over the internet. So it's in people's homes. Back then, people still had to go to the movies. So if you think of it in that regard, yeah, it wouldn't have happened. And quite frankly, in the privacy of his home, I don't care what he does. But yeah, Pee-wee's coming back. And maybe bigger than ever. In other TV type news, the news division is taking over The View. So think about that for a second.
I think about Whoopi Goldberg in like funny movies and stand up comedy. I don't think of her as hard news journalist or even to fall under that umbrella. Do you think of her that way?
I actually posted on Facebook this morning sarcasm, and it was just like, okay. And again, full disclosure, ABC News is where ABC News, I did an internship for the news division back then. But, when I think of hard news, the last people on earth I think of are Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, and Rosie Perez. They're all highly opinionated, which is fabulous. I think they have every right. It's their First Amendment right to speak their mind. They're all pretty liberal, which is fine because they don't try and be objective because they don't have to be because it falls under the entertainment division. By putting it under news, I think – and they're actually, I believe, taking an executive producer from Good Morning America because that has done extremely well. And they're thinking they can apply the same tactics and strategies and bring and breathe some life back into this show. But I don't think Whoopi, Rosie, or Rosie are going to want to be controlled and be told that they need to be objective. I mean, I would be afraid to try and muzzle any one of them, let alone those three.
Well, Rosie's proved what she does. She'll just quit. She'll take her toys and go home. If you don't agree with her, if she can't push her whatever beliefs, her liberal beliefs, her whatever things that she wants to stand up for, if she can't push it down your throat, and if you don't want to agree, then she's done. She'll just walk off, and she has nothing else to say. So I'm interested to see how this is going to play out.
I don't think it's going to go well, but this is just the beginning. I imagine we will see what this looks like in the coming weeks because this was just announced. So we'll see. And going back to more of the reality of reality. So Real Housewives. I mean, didn't we just all talk about Teresa Giudice or Giudice, depending on how you pronounce it, and how she and her husband are going to prison?
Yes. But we have also talked about how some of these mothers whore out their kids. And this is, in my mind, a perfect example.
You want to talk to it?
She has her daughter is in a band. I believe it's an all-girl band, and they have made a video. She's got you know, Teresa has got money problems. She is going to jail. You know, we had talked about, we had hoped that there would be something to where both parents wouldn't get in trouble. But, you know, the biggest thing is they're broke, supposedly. But she's supporting her daughter's new music career. Said that she spent lots and lots of bucks to produce a video for her 13-year-old girl, Gia's girl group, 3KT. Is that how you would say it, 3KT?
I don't know.
So she spent $10,000 for it. But, you know, okay, so in her defense, what could you get for $10,000 in a music video?
I'm going to jump in and tell you that only paid for part of the video. Apparently, the other parents chipped in as well. So they probably, you know, maybe this is a $50,000 video, which is not bad. But I kind of see this from a couple of different angles. First of all, not a good business decision. Allegedly, Teresa's husband, Joe, is furious because she paid this money and they have all these debts. You know, forget about just going to prison. They owe legal fees, restitution, bankruptcy. I mean, they're in a hot mess. But I also wonder, so he's angry, but I also think, is she hoping that her daughter will be kind of like the Alana or Honey Boo Boo for her when she gets out of the joint?
Or the Kim, Khloe, and the Kardashian girls for Chris.
That could be. Brian, what were you going to say?
She's actually in a little thing called the True Dance Crew.
True Dance Crew? Yeah, like Two Live Crew?
The, awards for daughter's groups perform.
Is she good?
Yeah, apparently so.
Damn, that's a bad time.
She must not be too good, or her mother wouldn't be putting the money out. Someone had already picked her up and put her on her way, maybe. I don't know her. She's 13 years old.
The same thing.
Who's going to be, you know, they've got things to do, and they're in Hollywood. They don't think like I do. They certainly, they don't think like an Atlanta mama.
If you had 10,000.
I would put it in my mouth and pray for lockjaw. That's what I would do.
That's really funny. I just think of college.
I
just think of college, and maybe I have become a boring, stupid old woman.
But you said the same thing about Mama June with Honey Boo Boo. And you know, she was putting money away. But yet, if you watch that show, you think, for college, they're too busy making babies and being in relationships. Who's going to college in that bunch? I'm sure in their mind they have a champagne taste and a beer wallet at this point now, because they've all lost their jobs. But before, no one was thinking about college because they didn't have to. They were riding that success wave on the reality show.
You know, and it's interesting too. Just when I thought June was putting all that money toward college, we see her buying cars and finding an apartment or a home for the convicted sex offender in her life. That money, she wouldn't be making money if not for her daughter. So I'm really, I got to tell you, I'm offended that money is not going for college funds. And there are laws that protect child actors and performers. So I'm hopeful that somebody puts the brakes on this somewhere. But in Teresa's case, maybe she feels like she's got nothing to lose at this point. She's going to be in a orange jumpsuit before we know it.
Well, listen, I have something a story that I saw, and I'm going to, just because of the whole parenting thing, it's not anything that we've talked about before, and you may not have even read this, but I think it's just the coolest story that it needs to be mentioned. So this Kentucky dad has a daughter. it makes me laugh, but I could see me doing this when I talk about a Southern mama. This Kentucky dad is getting both support and criticism for the way he punished his 10-year-old daughter. And you know why he punished her? It's because he had discovered a few weeks ago that she was flirting with boys online. Now, she is 10. Okay.
Oh.
She's 10, a 10-year-old daughter.
Wow.
She's online, which tells me that she must not have been being monitored, but she was pretending to be between 14 and 18. So you have a 10-year-old, fifth grade. Okay, so she's not in middle school yet. She's 10 years old, pretending to be from a middle school age to high, to, you know, 18. So her dad, and I say kudos, dad, wrote on his Facebook page, she claims to be in love and going out with a boyfriend, which is completely against the rules. Wow. So you know what the dad did?
What'd he do?
Oh, I love it. I've got to show you this picture. He forced his daughter to dress like a kid, which, dress like a kid, she's 10.
Right.
So she is a kid. So she is wearing her hair with a lot of pink barrettes.
Oh.
And pigtail holders, carrying a Sophia the First backpack. And he had her a pink shirt airbrushed on the back that says, I am 10 years old, on the front. And on the back, it says, fifth grader. I am a 10-year-old fifth grader. So according to the Daily Dot, some online commenters have applauded what he did, calling it creative way to discipline, while others were say, oh, you're embarrassing her.
Oh.
And then may lead it to bullying. But I love it. You know what? She, in the way that it really should be, the way that she's dressed shouldn't create bullying. The clothes are nice. Everything is matching. She just looks like a little girl.
So, first of all, I got to tell you, I completely agree with the dad. I say, kudos, dad. Good job. He's being a dad. However, why did this little girl have access to a computer privately?
Boom. You know what? I'm a mama, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
Okay. Almost about a year and a half ago, I got my daughter. I was at a consignment store, and she wanted a computer.
Mm.
Well, they had a Nickelodeon mini. It was a miniature size, like Dale had the, you know, the laptop minis. They had one. I think it was like $100. But it was like brand new.
Wow.
So she got it for her birthday. I wrapped it up and it just put it as one of her extra birthday presents because I thought it was $100. It's a Nickelodeon, all the goo crap all over it. It was a Dell laptop is what it was.
Nice.
So because she had never been online and she is so innocent and so pure and so precious, I just let her start playing with it before I went to any parental trolls where I can lock everything out. She had it about a week, and you know I'm busy, and I kick myself every time I think about this because I shudder at what my daughter might have seen. But she Googled something. She was just Googling like a baby furry animals, I think is what it was, and she happened on a porn site accidentally.
Ouch.
And she cried and cried because she just knew. I mean, she was so afraid. But what it did, some kind of scam or spam came across that little laptop and locked her computer up. And it says you were looking at child pornography or something to that effect. But
wow.
You know, you're going to get like a $350 fine if you don't pay this, and it gave you these PayPal links, different things that you could do. But it was some sort of scam. My sister is a cop, and we looked at it because all she was doing was just Googling things and just clicking because she was young. She was seven and a half at the time. So she didn't know what she was doing, but I have held on to that. It is still locked down. I have not tried to do anything with it, and it's been a year and a half ago. Because I opened it up and I thought, man, what if this is for real? And that was when I called the cops to say, is this, you know, legit? They said, no, it's they want your $350.
Exactly.
But I did not, as a parent, it was my fault. It was my fault as a parent. It was not hers. It is his fault as a parent that he was not monitoring. But sometimes we just let these things become their babysitters, and it's our fault because we are not doing what we're supposed to do as parents to protect them from the guys who might be thinking that she's 14 or 18 years old. But this is a perfect example of why you will look on the news sometimes of an Amber Alert where this girl is missing because she went to go meet this guy that she met online, but the guy thinks that she's older, and now you're in trouble. So exactly. It happens all the time. It happens all the time.
So moral of the story, be vigilant. Just try and keep computers out in sort of the more open places in a home, not in kids' bedrooms. Bad things happen because brains aren't fully developed till people are 25 years old. So they make bad.
And you know, and you know what? The biggest mistake, I will say, my kids were in, they were like in fourth and fifth grade, and my daddy gave them cell phones for Christmas. I did not do it. I did not buy them. And they were just for calls. That was it. I did not allow texting. Didn't do that until middle school. But I will tell you, one of my biggest regrets as a parent was buying my children and giving them iPhones, because iPhones put the whole world right in the palm of their hand.
True.
In their bedrooms, and they have access to anything that they want to see, whether it be accident or curiosity or whatever. I wish that I had never done it. Ever.
Yeah, you have with phones, with all these damn school shootings, sometimes kids can at least contact their parents and let them know, hey, I'm okay. It's just, it's hard to have between smartphones and computers, laptops, all of that. It's just hard to make, what's the right.
You know what it does? It's just another. All you're doing is making more work for you as a parent, because now you have to sit on top of them and monitor it and parole it and police it and sit there like a warden. I ain't got time for that.
No, I'm right there with you, sister. I don't know that I could, but all right, we'll move on some more. We went from kids. So supposedly this is in the category of wah. Kendall Jenner was supposedly bullied at New York Fashion Week. You know what?
Aww.
Young models.
I don't care.
Yeah, but not only that, young models, these are young girls. It is one of the most cutthroat industries anywhere on earth, whether it's US, Paris, Milan, anywhere you go. And I'll tell you that, so she was bullied. So somebody gave her a hard time. They know she's a rich kid who wouldn't be there if not for her last name. So, wah, wah, wah. You want to act like an adult? Then you have to take it like an adult and treat yourself with respect. Don't go around and just think that, you're going to get special treatment because you're Kardashian. I was going to say something else. By the way, Kim may be pregnant again.
Oh, alert the media. Wait, they already did.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to Halloween. We're just going to be in a one track. So Halloween, a long tradition in Canada, Ireland, the UK, and the US, has spread to countries around the world, which is sort of interesting, again, because there are so many holidays that we celebrate that others don't. International Magic Day, that's apparently celebrated today. In 1926, since October 31st, 1926, which was the day that Houdini died, spiritualists hold a seance on Halloween to try and contact the late magician. Guess what? No answer. Maybe they should go to that. They should go to that haunted house.
Yeah.
That might work. And then
they get more than they bargain for.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then we'll do this story, and then we're going to get our V News with Vanessa McConnell giving us her Vegas report. But we have a record. In 1992, the largest jack-o'-lantern was displayed in this funny town, Nut Tree, California.
Woohoo!
You know how many pounds that thing was?
How many?
827 pounds of pumpkin.
That would make a lot of pies.
That's a lot of pie. It's a lot of pumpkin. I guess you could make the pumpkin spice Starbucks coffee. We really got to get them as a sponsor. We talk about them a lot. Anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So let's go. We're going to take a break here. We'll go to our V News and then a commercial, and then we'll tie things up because it's time for your dance class. Yes, we'll be right back.
It's time for your V News Weekly Vegas Entertainment Update. Starting off with tomorrow, Friday, October 31st through Tuesday, November the 4th, is the first annual Sin City Skate Jam held at Las Vegas Roller Hockey Center with a mixer starting at 4 p.m. and skating at 11 p.m. with cash prizes on tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, Rep Your City. On tomorrow the 31st is Fetish and Fantasy Halloween Ball at Hard Rock Cafe on Las Vegas Strip. Tomorrow the 31st, Halloween costume contest and party at Club Madrid inside the Sunset Station Casino with a chance to win $1,000. On the 31st, Elusive presents a Halloween and rave themed event at the Hard Hat, reinventing the hedonistic world of the 90s New York City club kid culture for one night with the most outrageous costumes you can think of. There will be two areas of sound, live art, vendors, face painting, and a disco bloodbath. Ages 21 and over with no cover charge and drink specials all night. Lastly, on tomorrow, October 31st, is Via Brazil Steakhouse, hosting the biggest Halloween party in Las Vegas with samba, salsa, and bachata professional dancers and models. Admission is $15 at the door with drink and cocktail specials ready to serve over 2,000 people. On Saturday, November the 1st, is Mingle and Mayhem 11, brought by Joe Jarvis with special guest DJ DeLeon Francis and $10,000 sexiest costume contest at Surrender Inside Wind. Also on Saturday the 1st, New Image Advanced Laser Skin Center and 3 Square are taking your donations. Guests will celebrate the fall harvest by filling a bag of non-perishable food items and receive a free pumpkin enzyme facial treatment and be entered to win one of many more prizes. Also on Saturday the 1st, Deep Cuts, Full-Fledged, Pieces of Policies, and Identity Crisis will throw down to raise money for the young victims of a horrible car accident. This is taking place at the Adrenaline Sports Bar and Grill at 8 p.m. Lastly on Saturday, Halloween and Costume Party at Repeat's Bar and Grill presented by George Caprios. And then on Tuesday, November the 4th, Junction Complex and WHK presents the Tuesday Blend at the Hard Rock Live on the Strip. Ages 18 and over are welcome, but you must be 21 and over to drink. On the 5th, WIMMMI and GIT, Mentor Movement, will be hosting an event with featured mentor Jamie Naughton at Work in Progress on 6th and Bridger, downtown Las Vegas. And also on the 5th, your weekly Descent in the Heart of Underground presents the Movement Wednesday at the End with Meticulous. Free entry for everyone 21 and over with $1 well drinks for ladies. Don't miss this week where prizes will be given away to the person with the best zombie costume and guest DJs Vanguard, Kung Pao, and Apollo K. You have officially been updated by VNews, and it's on.
Thank you for listening to The Ladies' Room. We'll be right back in just a moment. Now, back to the ladies' room.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We're going to just talk about a few things here, and then Trish is going to be off and dancing again. So, this is the last time we get to plug Dancing with the Stars, Cobb County. Go for it, girl.
Go for it. I'm going to be dancing tomorrow night. I'm fixing to leave for my last rehearsal to get ready to go on stage with my dance partner and my wonderful teacher who has been so patient And so giving of his time at least three times a week for me to learn this cha-cha, Mr. Bo Foister from Dance, Tech, and Talent in Kennesaw, Georgia. We will be dancing tomorrow at 7 o'clock, November the 1st, at Lassiter Concert Hall in Marietta, Georgia. We are raising money for Loving Arms Cancer Outreach, and these are it's a nonprofit that reaches into our community and helps those people who need help with gas cards, grocery cards, a utility bill. It's not for research. It is not for anything like that. It is directly for people who need help with what they're going through on their cancer journey. So if you want to help me out, every dollar that you give me is a vote on the dance floor. You can text COBSTAR2, that is COBBSTAR and the number 2, 271777. Again, that is COBSTAR2, COBBSTAR and the number 2, and you're going to text it to 71777. You can go to Loving Arms website. That is lovingarms.support.com for more information.
All right. So I know you've got your costume. You had your dress rehearsal. How are you feeling?
You know, yesterday we're just polishing up and trying to put a little bit of Trisha personality. And we were also silly yesterday, me and my dance partner and his wife. We had the studio to ourselves, and I was just me. And they were like, oh my gosh, we love what you just did. Do that. So I'm going today, and you know, I'm sort of tired of being stiff and thinking I'm not doing this right. And I just kind of got silly with it and put me into it, and I felt much better because I think then I wasn't afraid of screwing up.
I'm going to talk to you like a mama bear right now. And the one thing I know is you sing beautifully in public. We do this radio show. You're out in the community doing all kinds of things. Dancing with the Stars, Cobb County, is just one more thing that you will accomplish. You're putting your body into it. You put your soul into it. You have raised a lot of money. So dance your little heart out. You are a cute little thing. I've seen you in your costume. You look beautiful. I'm so proud of you. I just want you to have a good time. And then you can always say, you did this.
Yeah.
And so
you're right. You're right.
This is just one thing. And that is from my heart. I'm very proud of you. You have worked very hard. There are some people who don't understand why we have beat this dead horse, but cancer sucks. We all know somebody. So Dancing with the Stars, Cobb County, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, be there. There are 1,000 seats in that place. I know there's going to be some seats left over, and the most inexpensive ones are what? $10, right?
$10. But we do have where the ticket sales, all the VIP gold are gone. And that was to meet and greet. They were the most expensive tickets. They're gone. I think all of the VIP, which is the $20 tickets, are gone. All that is left, I think, are general admission tickets, which are $10. And there are not many of those left. So we will have a big audience tomorrow night, Marianne. I will have a big audience.
And that means people can vote actually when they're sitting there as well, right?
Yes, yes, they will. I talked to Vinny Politan, and Vinny, I did not realize this, but Vinny is a former attorney. He is now on our NBC News station in Atlanta, 11 Alive. But Vinny started the show on CNN After Dark. Do you know that show?
I've heard of it. I know the show, yes.
It's a legal analyst show. So he started that. So he is now on NBC with a new show called Atlanta Alive, and he's a journalist and on there, but he is our MC. Very, very nice guy. Very, very nice. So I was talking to him, and you know, I know what time I'm supposed to go on stage, and I said, you know, this down to the minute, 9:05, I think is when I'm supposed to go on stage. And I said, that'll never happen. You know, it'd probably be 9:30. He said, no, I'll keep it straight to the paper. So, yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited. If nothing else, I have met some forever friends during this journey. It has been, I have met people that I would never meet that have been so kind to me, and they've changed my life.
I think it's been interesting for me as well to sort of be there from far away. And by the way, next week, you and I will be in the same room together.
We will, and I'm so excited.
That's sort of.
I'm gonna go buy a new outfit for this.
Oh, don't. No. I'm bringing suits with me. By the time I get and sit with you, I'm gonna be in kind of. What did you call those pants that you?
Eating breeches.
Yeah,
you know what?
This is
what I have thought about. I have already thought. Now my mama cans, so I've got chow and different things that. And I thought, you know what? I may cook you a little southern meal and pack it up because Nashville's not far from me, and I'm going to bring you some of this canned stuff, and before you leave Nashville you will have at least a taste of what I talk about in my southern kitchen.
I'm excited about this. This is a lot of people don't know this, so I'm going to drop a secret here. Trish and I have never met each other in person, which is even hard for me to believe because I really feel close to you.
But so far away.
So far away, but no more. We're changing that up. We're changing that up in a big way. But I know that you have a lot to do. So all I'm going to say is there's some scary movies coming out this weekend. Before I Go to Sleep, Nightcrawler, Saw. We need another Saw movie. An opening in limited release, The ABCs of Death 2. And so with that, as a reminder, before we close the show here, this weekend, it's time to, what do we
change
do?
Change the time.
Right.
You are going to fall back. And I love it. I do like it.
You like it? You gain an hour sleep, but it means it's dark, though, early.
I don't mind it. I hate spring forward. Spring forward just pisses me off. I hate it.
That's really
I hate it.
Funny. I think that's hilarious. Well, with that, in showbiz, it's always break a leg. So don't literally do that tomorrow, but be absolutely stunning, as I know you will be. I will be thinking of you at 6:05 my time. And to everyone, we will see you Monday on the Ladies Room Radio Show. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this edition of The Ladies Room.
Gabfest Radio.